Rolling Stone retracts gang rape story.
Reporters and editors had multiple opportunities to verify the details, and they didn't.
President defends nuclear deal.
Iran will not get a nuclear weapon on my watch.
Two to tangle for college hoop crown.
Duke's going to win.
The Badgers are going to win.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. Rolling Stone magazine has apologized and has issued a retraction of its explosive article last November alleging a gang rape at the University of Virginia, a fraternity house. Police found no evidence to support a case last month, and now a Columbia Journalism School analysis finds reporters and editors at the magazine failed to verify the account by a woman identified as Jackie. CBS's Juliana Goldman is on the UVA campus.
The report says Rolling Stone set aside or rationalized as unnecessary essential practices of reporting that, if pursued, would likely have led the magazine's editors to reconsider publishing Jackie's narrative so prominently, if at all. The most consequential decision was that Rolling Stone didn't contact three friends whom Jackie said she had spoken to the night of the alleged assault. The report's investigators say the article's author, Sabrina Rubin Erdely, did not provide Phi Kappa Psi, the fraternity in question, with enough details for them to investigate the allegations and properly respond. It says Rolling Stone did not do enough to identify Jackie's alleged attacker.
And Rolling Stone says it won't fire anyone responsible for getting the story into print. Now to Boston, where today closing arguments get underway in the Marathon bomb trial. CBS's Heather Bosch is covering.
Both sides in the trial of accused bomber Johar Tsarnaev will get a chance to sum up the evidence.
Prosecutors are going to point to the mountain of evidence they presented against Tsarnaev to say, listen, there's no reasonable doubt that he was involved in one of the great terror attacks on domestic soil in American history.
CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen predicts the defense, anticipating a conviction, will keep their closing arguments brief. He believes they're focused on the penalty phase of the trial, when they'll likely be trying to save Tsarnaev from the death penalty. Heather Bosch, CBS News.
The defense in the Aaron Hernandez murder trial is expected to make its case today in Fall River, Massachusetts. Just one witness is expected. The jury could get the case as soon as tomorrow. Hernandez, the former NFL star, is charged with murdering a semi-pro player. President Obama calls it a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity as he defends the framework deal with Iran on its nuclear program. He tells the New York Times it's the best way to keep Iran in check.
What I would say to the Israeli people is, however, that there is no formula, there is no option to prevent Iran from getting a nuclear weapon that will be more effective than the diplomatic initiative and framework that we've put forward.
On CNN, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu said the deal's a nightmare.
It keeps a vast nuclear infrastructure in place. Not a single centrifuge is destroyed. Not a single nuclear facility is shut down.
The White House says it plans an aggressive effort to sell the agreement to skeptical Republicans in Congress. Kenya's military is using air power to hit suspected Al-Shabaab militant sites today in Somalia. It's a response to the college attack last week that left 148 people dead, blamed on the Al-Qaeda-linked group. When it comes to women performing side-by-side with men in some of the U.S. military's most demanding positions, there are new doubts. Live to CBS's Vicki Barker.
The U.S. military has until next January to open all combat jobs to women or explain why it can't. And a number of men and some women in the secretive world of special ops fear standards could be lowered and missions compromised to admit women into units even the vast majority of male candidates aren't tough enough for. Special ops directors say they're working to correct misperceptions and address concerns and insist standards won't be compromised. Steve.
A Delaware man and two of his teenage sons are fighting for their lives. They fell ill on vacation last month in St. John, the Virgin Islands. CBS's Jerika Duncan.
The Justice Department is looking into whether the hazardous chemical methyl bromide was being used to spray for pests in a condo dangerously close to where the family was staying. Methyl bromide is used in farming and insect control in the U.S. and is a highly restricted substance, but is not illegal. According to the EPA, high exposure to humans can cause central nervous system and respiratory failure.
Indiana is stepping up the effort to win back tourists.
Almost 80,000 Hoosiers
working in small businesses
depend on Indiana tourism.
Hoosiers
like me.
New radio and TV campaigns are out in the wake of the backlash over the state's religious freedom law. Revisions to it have eased some of the criticism, but one tourism official says close to 1,000 emails have been received from people who are canceling trips. Indianapolis, at the center of it all, is the site of tonight's college basketball title game.
It all comes down to one final game, Wisconsin against Duke. Wisconsin center Frank Kaminsky.
This is every kid's dream, playing in the national championship.
The two teams faced each other in December. Duke won by 10 points, but Duke coach Mike Krzyzewski says Wisconsin had some key injuries.
We won the game, but I also knew that Wisconsin wasn't their best.
The odds makers list the game as virtually even. Steve Futterman, CBS News at the National Championship in Indianapolis.
The St. Louis Cardinals shut out the Chicago Cubs 3-0 to open the Major League Baseball season last night. The average opening day salary per player is a record $4.2 million. And CBS's Peter King has more on baseball's new look.
This year's changes aren't about shorter games, but rather faster-paced games.
What we're looking for is just a crispness in terms of the play of the game.
Commissioner Rob Manfred tells CBS News countdown clocks for pitchers' warm-ups and new rules for batters should make a difference. AA and AAA leagues are experimenting with a pitch clock. There's even talk of reducing the already long 162-game regular season schedule.
It is a grinding, demanding schedule for players, club personnel, everybody.
Manfred says 154 has been discussed. That's the number of games played before baseball's expansion era.
I do sense a little more receptivity internally than there has been.
Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Some mothers who can't breastfeed their children but want to get them breast milk buy it on the internet. A new study looked into what parents are getting.
1 in 10 of the samples had cow's milk or cow's milk-based infant formula added to them.
Sarah Keim of Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus says children who consume that milk are vulnerable to bacteria and disease. The trial for one of the Cleveland police officers involved in the deadly 2012 pursuit where scores of shots were fired begins today.
Cleveland police officer Michael Brillo is charged with felony manslaughter, allegedly jumping on the hood of a suspect car after a massive police chase, firing 49 rounds into the car, killing unarmed suspects Timothy Russell and Melissa Williams. Apparently, many of the 60-plus officers involved in the chase ignored orders to terminate the chase. Greg Saber for CBS News, Cleveland.
A movie that's all about cars and chases had a high-octane opening at the box office.
Shaw lives in a world that doesn't play by your rules. Like it or not, you and your friends are a part of it now.
Furious 7 took in more than $143 million in its first weekend at theaters. Ninth best opening of all time. The blockbuster Fast and Furious franchise is 14 years old. That's the roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.